In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to give you a whole new way to think about prayer. And this whole new way to think about prayer is taken from the last verse of today's gospel reading. Jesus says, "If you then, you disciples of mine, you who believe in me, who are evil according to your fallen sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one true God. But what is the significance of asking the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit? Why would we do such a thing? When we pray, we tend to pray for earthly goods. We tend to pray, as the Lord's Prayer recorded in Matthew teaches us, "Give us this day our daily bread," which the Catechism says includes not merely daily food and drink, but also all manner of other things. So why does Jesus tell us to pray for the Holy Spirit? Well, think about the work of the Holy Spirit. Think about how the Small Catechism explains the third article of the Creed, dealing with the Holy Spirit and those whom He has sanctified in Christ Jesus, the Holy Christian Church. "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified me, and keeps me with Jesus Christ in the one true faith." We pray for the Holy Spirit so that we can be kept in this one true faith. We pray that God would create in us a true heart and renew a new heart and renew a right spirit within us. And He does so through the work of the Holy Spirit. When you pray for your Heavenly Father to give you the Holy Spirit, it is not as though you did not have the Holy Spirit up until that prayer. No, again, that Spirit was placed upon you in holy baptism. That Spirit abides in you. But what you are asking is that no matter what circumstances you face in life, whether everything is going so well you don't think you need God, or when everything is going so bad, you wonder, "What happened to God? Has He abandoned me? Does He even exist?" You pray for the Holy Spirit so that you would continue in the faith no matter what your circumstances are. Now, we tend to pray for earthly goods. You may remember the song Janis Joplin sang, if you're old enough, years ago back in the 70s, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" And I can see from the smiles and from the chuckles that you are familiar with this song. Well, God has better things to give you than a Mercedes-Benz. He has Jesus Christ to give you. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, present among us today in the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the one to whom the Holy Spirit points you, directs you as your Savior. Jesus Christ, the one who has taken away all your sins. Jesus Christ, present for you in His body and blood in the sacrament. Better than a Mercedes-Benz, better than a color TV, better than a new laptop computer with 1,000 terabytes of storage. Jesus Christ, your Savior. So again, when we ask our Heavenly Father to give us the Holy Spirit, we are asking that the Holy Spirit's work would be fulfilled in us to keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Now, as a pastor for 20 years, I think I've visited 15 or so people in the hospital during that time. And a natural thing to pray is that the one in the hospital or the one who is sick would be restored to health, would be strengthened in the midst of their affliction, and would soon be able to go home. And again, these are right and proper things for which to pray. But how about if we prayed this, which the old Lutheran pastoral agendas directed a pastor to pray for? The Anglican Book of Common Prayer did the same thing. Lord God, may this illness be a means by which you direct this person to look to Jesus Christ as the one who forgives all of their sins. And if this illness be unto death, keep them firm in the faith, so that through pain and anxiety of death, they would not be drawn away from that faith and would persevere until the end when you receive them into life everlasting. That's a whole new way to think about prayer. If a pastor were to pray that as is with someone in the hospital, the ill person might be a little shocked, because naturally we want to get better. We want to be able to go home to our earthly home. As Christians, we should also want to go to our heavenly home. But the really important thing is that we gain that ultimate healing, which is found only in the presence of the triune God. That is the most important thing of all. Earthly affliction, earthly illness, earthly trouble is but for a brief span of time. But the joy, the blessedness that God has promised to those who are His in Christ Jesus endures forever and far outweighs the afflictions of this present world. Lord, teach us to pray, one of Jesus' disciples asked him after he saw Jesus praying in a certain place, and we have a great mystery there. The mystery of God, the incarnate Son, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, praying as true man to his Father in heaven. And what did Jesus pray? Well, I'm sure that he prayed for perseverance, to be faithful to his calling, to be the Savior of the world. He no doubt prayed for his disciples. He prayed for various things. He prays for you in the presence of the triune God right now, in the presence of his heavenly Father. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said to the disciples, when you pray, say, and here he's offering a slightly different version of the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer in different ways, slightly different ways, at different times during his ministry. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Now, God's name is already holy, and there is nothing we can do to make his name holier. But we pray that we would recognize his name holy, and that we would keep his name holy by our attitude toward that name. Attitude, Emmy. There's a private joke there. And that we ourselves would sanctify that holy name placed upon us in holy baptism. Your kingdom come, Jesus says to pray. God's kingdom, his kingdom of grace and mercy in this world to us, through the word, through the sacraments, and that it would continue to come to us, but also that those outside the kingdom, those who know not of Christ, those who lack faith in Christ, would be gathered into that kingdom of grace and mercy, and that the number of Christians would be multiplied. But we also pray that the eternal, heavenly fullness of Christ's kingdom would quickly come when he returns to make all things new again. Your kingdom come. Give us this day, each day, our daily bread. And at the time when Jesus spoke those words, people were paid by the day. They bought their daily bread, their food, one day at a time. Jesus taught in this petition to recognize that daily bread is a gift from God. It comes to us, yes, as we work, if we are wage earners or have been wage earners, but it is God himself who gave us those talents and skills to work. And if God had not provided a bountiful earth to bring forth crops and bring forth food of all kinds, steak, then there would be no daily bread no matter how hard we worked. It is no accident that in the service of the sacrament, we pray the Lord's Prayer and we ask for this daily bread. The daily bread God gives us graciously is the gift of the sacrament, the bread and wine of Holy Communion. The Church has prayed this petition in the service of the sacrament for almost since from the very beginning. And today, Christ gives you his body and blood, the bread sufficient for this day, for the forgiveness of all of your sins, and to strengthen you in the one true faith. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, because indeed, we daily sin much, and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Our culture has taught us to take sin lightly. Our culture has basically denied the concept of sin. Our culture teaches that if there is a God, or maybe there are many gods, but if there is a God, he's not judgmental. He does not care how one lives his or her life. He is a God who merely wants everyone to be happy, to have a good time, and it does not matter what one does, what one believes. But the problem with that is when we live in a way contrary to God's word, contrary to his law, that is not the way to happiness. Happiness may be there briefly, but it will not endure. Forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses. Again, we daily sin much in ways we recognize, in ways we don't, and we surely deserve nothing but God's punishment. And here I want to take a look at the Old Testament reading. The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was great before God. Their sin was very grave. And God threatened to punish Sodom and Gomorrah, which he did, on account of their sin, their unbelief, their rebellion against God. But Abraham drew near to the Lord, and he said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" Or, and then a verse later, "Will you sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, Lord, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked." I hold before you the one righteous man, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was holy and without sin, the one who was numbered with the transgressors, the one who became the sinner in his heavenly Father's eyes, because he bore the sin of the world, all of your sin, all of my sin, the vast, ugly sum, the stinking, smelly cesspool of the sins of all the world heaped upon Jesus. And indeed, this one righteous man was put to death just as all the wicked die, but he was put to death on behalf of the wicked, so their sins could be forgiven, so that your sins could be forgiven. And thus, so you can pray confidently, forgive us our sins, because indeed God forgives those sins for the sake of Jesus. And lead us not into temptation. God tempts no one. But we pray in this petition that God would enable us to stand firm in the face of temptation. And the temptation here could also refer to the time of testing. Temptation and testing are the same word. Enable us to stand firm when our faith is tested. But it could refer as well to the final testing which will come upon the church in that time of apostasy, that time when we are tempted to renounce the faith into which we are baptized. Keep us from that, Lord, from yielding to that temptation. Keep us firm in our confession of the faith of the triune God who showed his mercy to us in the gift of his Son. Be with us in the time of testing and enable us to endure. Lord, teach us to pray. You are taught to pray each week as you participate in the divine liturgy. For the liturgy is taken from the Word of God. Indeed, if you look in the margins beside each portion of the liturgy, you will see scripture references denoting from which passage of Scripture that portion of the liturgy was taken. You pray in the liturgy. You pray with all the people gathered here for the liturgy. You pray with the whole Christian church on earth in the liturgy. You certainly pray as individuals too at home. You pray the Lord's Prayer. You pray brief petitions and intercessions to your Heavenly Father. You don't need an abundance of words to get His attention. Rather, you have His attention already because of that one righteous man who was swept away with the wicked, your Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer can be simple. Prayer can be individual. Prayer can be communal. Prayer can be formal. Lord, teach us to pray. And the basis of all of our prayers is the Word of God. For it is through that Word God teaches us what we are to pray for. Through that Word, through the liturgy of the church, God teaches us the language of heaven. God teaches us how to address Him, and how you address Him is as your loving Heavenly Father who gave His Son for you. So you're praying today. When you pray privately, again, God doesn't hear you for the multitude of your words. God doesn't say, hey, I give that prayer an A+. How many times I have heard people say, after I pray for them and with them, that was a beautiful prayer. And I want to say, on that, what makes prayer beautiful is Jesus. Teach us to pray. We pray through Jesus Christ. We pray because God has given us the Holy Spirit that acknowledges and confesses Christ as Savior. Who acknowledges or who enables us to acknowledge and confess Christ as Savior? Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.